always deliver. Unto dead we are, always deliver. Unto dead, then the life of Jesus could reign within our bodies. Then the life of Jesus could reign within our souls. We are always delivered. Unto dead we are always delivered. Unto dead. But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in striving, in imprisonment, in tumults and labors, in watching, in fasting, we are always delivered. Unto dead we are always delivered. Unto dead, that the life of Jesus could reign within our bodies. That the life of Jesus could reign within our souls. We are always delivered. Unto dead we are always delivered. Unto dead. By pureness, by knowledge, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceiver and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, here we are always delivered. Unto dead we are always delivered. Unto dead, that the life of Jesus could reign within our bodies. That the life of Jesus could reign within our souls. We are always delivered. Unto death we are always delivered. Unto death. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Oh, giving no offense to anything, that the ministry be not blamed. As sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, we are always delivered. Unto death we are always delivered. Unto death. Jesus could reign within our bodies. That life of Jesus could reign within our souls.
We are always
delivered
unto death.
We are always
delivered
unto death. We are
always
delivered unto death. Let a life of Jesus could reign within our bodies. That a life of Jesus could reign within our souls.
We are always delivered
unto death. We are always
delivered
unto death.
Amen. We are always delivered unto death. Amen. Could we just stand and sing the song? For I was born to be a dwelling place, a temple for the Lord tonight. Amen. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. The minister will just come and let us sing this song. Amen. For I was born to be.
Back pain. He said that he sustained an injury to his back while on his job, and this has resulted in him not being able to even bend without suffering intense pain. Requesting prayer tonight. Brother Ayres requesting prayer for his daughter Alicia, for short breath and a normal bowel condition. Sister Ruth Cummings would like prayer to be offered on behalf of her nephew Nigel Mahabia, who suffered a laceration to his foot. She also requests prayer for the salvation of his soul. Brother Simon would like prayer to be offered on behalf of his mother, Olga Simon. Because of her age, he believes that she seems to be losing her memory. He would like a complete restoration. Let's remember these tonight. It was one of our loved ones. No doubt we would want people to be sincere when they would pray, believing that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If two shall agree as in touching anything, it shall be done. For when you stand praying, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. God is obligated to his word tonight. All we have to do is just believe it. He that cometh unto God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you have a special request, it may not be physical healing for your bodies, but it may be that God will reveal his divine will to you. It might be more important. Your eternal destination might depend upon decisions that you'll have to make when you're confronted with God's word. It might be a domestic problem, financial need. God promises to supply all our needs according to his riches. No better time to come before his throne boldly, looking unto him who made the promise. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we stand in your presence tonight, Lord, we realize that when you stood that day and says, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of your word shall in any wise fail. Lord, you wasn't speaking idle words, but Lord, you was laying a rock, such a foundation that we could come years afterwards and put our faith upon that infallible word of God, knowing your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish your purpose unto which is sent, Lord. Here tonight, as we see these needs, Lord, we realize that if you didn't make these promises, Lord, we might be standing here without a hope, not knowing where the type of assistance that we need would come from. Realize that man, Lord, in his ability is so limited. But when we are faced with conditions like this, we want one that is greater than a man. One, Lord, who would even be able to understand what we go through. One, Lord, that we touch with the feeling of our infirmities. One who passes way before and could stand and intercede on our behalf. Just to know that you made these promises, Lord, it caused our faith to rise within us, knowing you said you will not withhold any good thing from us tonight. And Father, your servant, standing here at this sacred desk before your people, the purchase of your blood, Lord, I lay my hands upon these requests that represent all these sick and needy ones, believers standing in the congregation. Lord, believing on behalf of these, Lord. No doubt, Lord, there are many others, even now, holding needs of a different nature, even within their hearts. Knowing that if two shall agree as in touching anything, it shall be done. And this is the very hour you promise in your word that these things are to be. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, according to your riches and glory, you would meet every one of these needs tonight as the people believe it, Father. This is the confidence that we have, the petitions we desire of you when we ask according to your will. And Father, we are not asking amiss tonight, but we are asking these things that the benefits and the results might be for your honor and for your glory. Let it be done now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for this service. You would speak to our hearts. You would prepare us. Make us ready to come to your table tonight. But he says, often you come together to show the Lord's death. Do this in remembrance of me. And we so appreciate this opportunity tonight to remember you, Lord, that you suffered and you died for us. You gave your life unreservedly. Greater love no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Lord, when we think of our hearts, that we love you, because being a Christian today, we know that we were a sinner at one time. And Lord, you were so rich in mercy to deliver us from our sins. Lord, when we had to walk with our heads hanging shame, Lord, our spirit in despair, not knowing where deliverance is going to come from, tossing to and fro, but you reached down your hand for us. You lifted us out of the ditch, Lord. And here tonight we can stand knowing that it's only a reality in our lives because you have died, you had suffered. Had that been a fable, Lord, it would not have happened to us. We would have been as lost can be. Now, God, knowing that your word be manifest in this hour, and for others to be delivered, Lord, and for your promises be fulfilled, we must die to ourselves that you can live inside of us. Oh God, may your word strike us in such a way that we too would come unreservedly, Lord, and live up our lives expressing our love for you. Truly, Lord, by obeying your word, which is your rather obedience and sacrifice, let it be now, Father, as you wait before you to speak to us tonight. The strangers in our gates, Lord, may you touch them. They have come, maybe through an invitation. They have come, Lord, maybe seeking truth. Lord, some have come, maybe just a visit tonight because he was asked to come. But whatever it is, he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Lord, we know that to be true because it's a promise. But we pray that you would show yourself alive in some way, that others would see and know that your word is true. Grant it, Father. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Romans. If you have a note of thanks, Sister Gemma would like to give God thanks for healing her daughter, Patrice. She said that the child was suffering from a splitting headache. She said when she laid her hands on her forehead, she could feel the blood pumping. She said when she laid her hands, the pain left her completely. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Romans 4. Just want to come back and continue to preach from where I left last month. Preaching out of Works is Feet Express. And I think I'm just going to just keep preaching there for a while as I feel that that is the will of the Holy Spirit. I'm looking for certain things and just preaching the word for a service, but looking to see something begin to move. That it takes your attitude to make it move. It would take your faith being expressed to make it move. Romans 4, Hebrews 11. I'm going to read on Hebrews 11 first, verse 1 to 3. We'll speak on faith for a little while before we come to the Lord's table. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders receive witness, obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, God speaking to Abraham, before him whom we believe, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which are not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, So shall I see thee? And this is the first one I want to really preach on tonight. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. I was just reading today, you know, Brother Abraham says, he read one book of scripture and somebody said, that's all going to read. He says, if I take 25 years, I couldn't finish preaching that, because the word of God is eternal. And I just feel that, you know, we read the scripture and we maybe can memorize it, but until it's not a reality in our life, it's not being interpreted, it's still not revealed. Yes. Amen. When that word is made flesh, then you have a revelation. If it's not made flesh, you have to keep hearing it until it gets down inside of the air. Yes. Until it begins to live inside of you. Yes. So don't mind if I read the same scripture over and over from now until the resurrection. Because if I didn't have that problem here, I wouldn't need to preach this. If I believe we had perfect faith living in this congregation, and nobody here was staggering through unbelief, and everybody here was strong in faith, giving praise and glory unto God, and nobody taking those circumstances into consideration, then I wouldn't have to preach this. Yeah. Amen. But the only reason you have problems, the only reason you have people complain, the only reason you have people still haven't got the promise, is because there's something lacking right inside of here that needs to become real, as it was real to Abraham. Amen. It was real to him. One more scripture. Second Corinthians 10. I want to speak a little bit on the inside life, you know, because to me, that's where the message is now. It's not something outwardly just to learn. It's always happening in the lives of people. When the third pull and dies to the soul, that's the inside of the inside. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in readiness, and that is our attitude now, to punish or to revenge all disobedience. The word comes and meets you in a situation, it has no struggle in your heart about the word. Be in readiness to punish all disobedience. Put it aside. Let the word have preeminence. If you're in self, it will be a different thing. Amen. Having in all readiness to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. May God add blessing to the reading of your word. You may have your seat. Amen. Still trying to recuperate a little bit, you know. You go out and come back in and try to get right in the middle of things again, and it's still kind of hard to just get right back in. It takes a few days, and I've been in that kind of process of just trying to get myself back together by the grace of God, and just believing that He would be gracious enough to let me, you know, get back quickly. Because the last time I was out, I preached 22 services in 17 days, and then this time I preached 18 services, and you know, it's from one climate to the next, back and forth, and it's kind of a little rough on the physical body. And you know, it's my one service is so much of preaching, and you're preaching home sometimes, you know, to your own people, it's all right. You could just speak to them and they already understand what you're going to say anyway. But you know, when you go outside, and sometimes some of the things are new to some people, and you have to be preaching and yet, you know, trying to prove back and forth and different things. And then, you know, you're preaching in one type of play country, like, say, like in Honduras and them places, where it's a different type of country, different language, different background, different history of people. It's Spanish people, it's Latin American, you know, and then you go into America, or it's Americans, and it's a different type of thing. You go to Canada, and it's another kind of spirit, you know. But each place have their national spirit, and you have to break through all those things and really preach the word, and, you know, yet the grace of God could be so good to us, to give us such a wonderful time, and, you know, the testimonies and the report that you've been hearing, and, you know, Brother Joe giving the testimony on Sunday morning of the things that he was a witness to and what he had seen, and a few of the people saw the pictures that we had to put on the board for you. You know, I know it would be, you know, some of the people who saw it, they thought it was like some of these, you know, bogus pictures they had some seasons ago. But to see the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, from one country to the next country, just, you know, moving like that, and the Holy Spirit just, you know, showing himself in such a way that it could be an encouragement to our hearts, you know. I remember when I was preaching back here about looking to the unseen and all those messages about the heavenly order being established on the earth right now, and, you know, how that same thing is existing in this present hour. And the prophet says if God would only remove the veil of flesh, we'd see the angels standing right by the seat right now. Amen. Ministering spirit sent from the presence of Almighty God. Amen. So you get in your car and they get to the side of you, they take you straight to your home and all these things. And then you see the Holy Spirit, you know, would just come down and just prove these things, you know, that let you see it's not psychology, it's right there among the believers, you know. And it's been such a great awakening, you know, that is happening, and the Holy Spirit doing a special work there on the outside that many people don't seem to, you know, for years just lean back there knowing that the time was going to come, something was going to happen, something was going to move. And the prophet said, except you have the token to examine it, it's going to pass right through you. Amen. Amen. And, you know, we come right up to a time that you could see the Holy Spirit, you know, these things that people might struggle to, God is making it so real that there is no doubt in the people's hearts. They could quickly receive the word. And when you see that, you know, the time is at hand. You know, the days of the, you know, the skeptic, they have their portion. The Mr. Unbeliever have his portion. Mr. Impatient have his portion. But the real believer, the Holy Spirit, just bringing them to a place to really make the word real to them. And, you know, there is something in the believer's hearts right now that they're hungering for this word. And you know, they're quick to put aside all self that the word can have preeminence. When you see somebody still hold on to self and still want to project themself and still want to establish themselves and, you know, still going to try to defend themselves and wrestle with the word and the pillar of fire, they are vindicating the word and God confirming it, and it becoming flesh in the life of believers. And somebody holding on to, you know, to some carnal interpretation or some, you know, carnal desire or something. You know, it just shows you're not dealing with a believer. You're not dealing with a believer. Because, you know, this is what the children of God are hungering and thirsting for. You know why? The bond is deep inside of them for this. It's a deep calling for that. You know, you know, there is something in the believer that wants the word. See, they want to see that word become flesh inside of them. They want to see when God bring them to the most severe conditions. Yet they can see the life of Jesus Christ being made manifest to them, to conquer it and bring it in subjection. Amen. That brother, people gonna hate them, bitterly hate them, and cut them to pieces and push a knife in the back, and they can look at them and love them genuinely. Amen. The believer, that's what they're longing for. They want to see these things. See, believers are looking for some little sensation or some little something. No. See, the believer is looking for a life that, because someone says, Satan have no place in me.
Like a child say, Father, I know you hear me always. Yes. Amen. That is what the real believer. Because why? We have seen those things made manifest before us. We see the character that must be there that God can send power to. Amen. And once a person, you know, have that, see, then you have nothing to compete about. Because the reason it was predestination, it means no competition. Amen. What is my children on is my children on? Nobody else's children can come and try to, you know, show me all kinds of different things to get it. It belongs to my children. Regardless. It's my inheritance to them. Amen. See, and that is exactly how the things of God are. So it's not a matter of outdoing and, you know, creating an impression and looking good before the public and, you know, all that's a waste of time. Yeah. That kind of person to be motivated that kind of way. An insecure person. But the things of God are freely given unto them. Unconditionally. God brings them to the place. Amen. Where all, you know, weaknesses and these things is taken over to them. Amen. He makes them what he wants to be. But that is not when they get the promise. It's given to them before that, unconditionally. Yeah. Amen. And that's exactly what happened with Abraham. You know, God gave it to him unconditionally. He said, I give that to you. And his mistakes, nothing that he did, took it away. The work that come against him and say, he's wrong, don't give it to him, Lord. It belongs to him anyhow. God didn't swear by himself. Amen. That belongs to him. And that's where the real believer is, has a rest. Yeah. She's not caught up, you know, running and competing and no. God comes to them. Yeah. Amen. Because I, the Lord, have planted. I, the Lord, have watered it. Amen. I, the Lord, I give it the increase. God give it unto them. And this is where the purpose of the message was to take the fears and the doubts out of the believer. And let them see the name was in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Amen. And then God, you know, made it in such a way, he didn't say John Henry, because he could have a million John Henrys that can make claim to it. Amen. So God put it in the form of a prophecy. And only those whose life dovetail and match that word know that they are the one that God is speaking about. And then God comes and take your experience and shows you in the word that that is you. And that means these things is rightfully yours. They don't care what nobody says, because nobody can deny that you've seen them in the book. Nobody could deny your testimony that the pillar of fire hangs there and vindicates. Because man to say something, but it's God to vindicate it. Amen. You see, but when people have fear and doubt and, you know, they're insecure and uncertain of God, you know, then they have to kind of keep trying, you know, to compete and keep the, you know, set of, you know, the ability, you know, constantly at work, you know, hoping that they could achieve something. But it's no use. God didn't want a good intention and a good objective. David had good intention and good objectives one time. And God struck a man dead with good intention and good objectives. Amen. God struck a man dead with zeal and enthusiasm. Yeah. See, he say you must seek it in due order that he spoke according to his prophet. Amen. Obedience to his word. Amen. And, you know, just what made me, think about just speaking a little bit on this tonight, being not weak in faith. Because, here we are at a time, and after having that experience last November, you know, the masterpiece being smitten and God signs for running his events. And God give a sign of the masterpiece being smitten, showing that his sign is for running his events. And after the masterpiece is built and then is unveiled, then it has to be smitten. And then after it's smitten, then there's to be a ministry of the masterpiece. And then we see then that, all these years, the word becoming flesh and the flesh becoming word. And, you know, it's all happening in secret. Behind human skins, you know, many people, you know, looking, but, you know, cannot really see God because it's veiled for many people, except the Holy Spirit anoint their eyes with eye salve to let them see what promise for the age they're living in being interpreted. They wouldn't be able to identify God. They can call anything, you know, God, but then it must be what is promised for this hour. Amen. Amen. Christ is revealing his own word, and God is identified by his own characteristics. Amen. Amen. And God's characteristics are supernatural. Yes. And then he has to come and, you know, identify himself according to the promise that is prophesied for the hour. Amen. And many people, you know, they look there to see God being identified, and they really couldn't see him because, you know, of what they was looking for. But it's the hour we have to see God in his people. Amen. Let us see God, you know, in his creation. We saw that. Let us see God in his Son. We saw that. Let us see God in his word. We saw that. But now let us see God in his people. Amen. Amen. And this is where the characteristic of God, you know, is really being identified in the believer, that God is walking again on 2 feet. The word is in flesh. Amen. Amen. Not just a Christian walking with a Bible, not just somebody telling the message, not just somebody, you know, just going along with the crowd, you know, religious and, you know, kind of gauging the self by how much they know, or gauging the self by if there's a certain group of people, or gauging the self by how much he has in the message. That's nonsense. That doesn't count in God's sight. It's God we're talking about. Amen. That might impress people, but God we are speaking of. Amen. And the only thing that impresses God is God's own life. God's own word. Amen. It's the only thing God can identify himself with. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, in this, I was thinking there, here we come to this time, and, you know, this little message, humble thyself, we kind of speaking it sometimes of where it has come down to. And I've been looking all these years that there is going to be a ministry of the spoken word. You see, the prophet had 5 manifestations of the spoken word, but he was looking for a ministry of the spoken word. You see, that ministry of St. Mark 11:23 was made manifest, but we know it could not come into the bride until she's forming the image, because God made man in his own image and then gave him dominion. Amen. And then many people, you know, they try to bring that out the season without having God's own image, without being formed back in the image of the word. And then God laying back a portion of the word that could not be explained back there when the 7 seals opened. Amen. A fold passed in an unknown language. Many people up to the day, you know, they're still confused whether that is ready to be interpreted, whether it's on this side of the rapture, whether it's on the other side of the rapture, you know, but it was spoken. You see, and I'm a firm believer for what's in the message. This is my absolute. My absolute is not what this man said, that man said, this one teach. My absolute is what has been said here by God. Amen. This message came for preparation. The pillar of fire came for vindication. And the token was for consolation. Amen. And when that message was delivered, amen, then all those things lay in the message as promises lay in the air to be revealed in season. The prophet saying right there with the 7th seal, he says there's a portion of it to be revealed just around the time before Jesus comes. Yeah. Amen. And you know, I would read that and so if God says so, God don't lie. I remember the prophet took the Bible as a young man. He read John 14:12. Yeah. Amen. The work that I do, shall you do also. And greater work than this shall you do because I go unto the Father. And people had believed the days of miracles are over. And he read that. He said, but wait a minute. If that's in the Bible, God said that. Yeah. If God will bring it to pass, then God is wrong for saying it. Yeah. Amen. Then why don't people believe it? But people were afraid to step out and be embarrassed. Yeah. They feared that it might not happen. Yeah. See? Yeah. People tried it and it didn't work because maybe they didn't have sufficient faith. So they said, well, maybe since it didn't work, you see, they always exalt themselves so high. They wouldn't think they didn't have sufficient faith. They said, well, maybe the scripture is not true for today. Because my faith is just perfect. But they really have insufficient faith. You see, they're quick to find a fault with the word and not themselves. But the fault is not in the word, the fault is in you. The fault is in me. Because the word remains true regardless. Amen. You see, and because I believe these things, his promises to this hour, it must happen. It must happen, and it must happen among believers. And believers will have faith to take that word and hand it there. Yes. Believers would receive a revelation if that is their promise. Yes. Amen. You'll be able to make that word work. Yes. Because not so much teaching up now. Yes. We've had 20 years of teaching. Yes. And we've been explaining. But where's the people who can take the word and make it work? Amen. We have had the season of the great arguments. We've had the great explainers. All these things have come forth, but they never produced nothing. They never make the word work. They succeeded in building the camps, establishing the kingdoms, drawing people to themselves, influencing people with influence. But where have they made the word work like the prophet made it work? Amen. And the generation is about finished. Let's see Israel in the homeland. You can't fool with the word. The word is nothing to play around with. The prophet says, you ever see a man take that word and try to make it work? He said, you can't bluff that word. You might get yourself excited, but you can't bluff the word. He said, you see them end up a wreck at the side of the road. Amen. He said, you see one man take a scripture and make it work. Another man said, I can do that too. He went and try it. He said, he ended up a wreck because he went on an imagination. Yeah. See? Because why? To get this one to jump out of the page of this Bible to come a manifestation, you better have the same life of the world that's laying on the air. It better be the word itself in flesh talking to the written word. Amen. Because you can't fool yourself with it. You can't play with it. It'll backfire on you. Amen. What it needs, honest people. You know, like the prophet Billy Graham, you know, he went on to India there and meet all them Muslims walking in white hot coals to the knee deep. Taking lances and piercing through the mouth and all different things. And when he saw those things, you know, it just shook him up and they challenged him. They said, let's see you do something. Jesus promised this in the Bible. He took the first plane out. Amen. Try to dodge the issue and avoid it. The prophet said he should be sincere enough to say, I can't do it, but I'm a man of our rank who can do those things. Amen. But you don't see people with that kind of sincerity. They try to make them excuse for the word. The word don't need no excuse made for him. Amen. You don't have to say you're a believer, you know. The word is tell you if you're a believer. If you're making me work, you're a believer. You can't make me work, you know you're not a believer. Amen. Is the word that tell you who the make believer is? Is the word that tell you who the unbeliever is? Amen. See? 1965. The prophet says, we still hear the message intellectually. That's 1965. Not 1996. He said, and the other lady in the prison is son to be writing. Now 21 years have been writing in the prison of his son. And when the seven seals opened back there, he told him, he says, you ain't even have faith for divine healing hardly. Amen. See, they were watching a man that cancer couldn't stand before him. The doctors, when they can't do no more, they say, go down to the meeting. Go down to that man meeting. Hallelujah! He said, look at my meeting. He says, I walk in this man meeting. He says, everybody come in well, dressed nice, and all their fancy clothes, button doors, having a nice, good meeting, so on. He said, when they come into my meeting, all kind of wheelchair and straight jackets and all kind of people in chains and all kind of different things. He said, what's the difference? One preacher intellectual gospel! See? Now watch. Here today, you still see people, 1986. Still don't have faith for divine healing. Oh, they claim to have it. And when they get sick and they confront you with something, you have no faith to overpower that thing. No, it's time you be sincere with the word. You want help? You know, what is your God? Approach God and pray. Are you not sincere with your prayer? You're not sincere with your confession. That's why the prophet can stand up there and say, Lord, forgive us tonight and wash us in the blood for our sins. And he already had the king's sword in his hand. But he don't see nothing wrong to say that. But some people, you know, they're so intellectual. You know, they can't pray that way, so they're trying to analyze their prayer intellectually before God, how to say it. So when they say it, it will always keep them looking revelated. Amen. And some little situation comes. Some little tumor, some little cancer, some little cripple or something. And they seem helpless. Something is wrong. They don't have the key. Right here in this church. You see, we have to see where we are and where we stand in. And look in the mirror of the world. And take a good look at yourself. And don't walk away and forget what you look like. Many, when they find themselves in a situation, before they would stand flat-footed and let the devil throw much cuffs he want, like Job, and then don't let me yet, I'll trust him. Because at that time, if you can't quote them to the devil, you don't have to tell him how long in the message. He don't respect that. You say, I believe God. He said, I believe God too. The Bible says he believed God. He's not Trinitarian. He didn't make people Trinitarian. But the Bible said the devil believed in one God. Amen. See? This is the hour when the word has been working. That is what's going to make it. Yeah, we have the proof now. It's not water in a gasoline pan. When you just polish up the hubs, a nice time on his job, door skin on the seat, diamond studs in the wheels. What's the use? Amen. It's not going to go away. If you have octane in the tank, then strike a match and let it just spark. Amen. But if it's water in a gasoline pan, you strike a match, nothing's going to happen. And many times believers, they don't believe the word close enough to the point that the things in their life, in the very season when the word is preaching certain things, it's to prove that they are a believer and to make that word live inside of them. They don't believe it that way. But let me tell you, it's only the devil trying to veil you from that. Your every life is zeroed into the very moment in God's economy. Exactly what God is doing right now in God's economy. Your life is tied into that very thing. See? So you look and see many. The devil making them believe that they are believers because they agree with the word. I can see that. So I believe it. But then I don't live in them. Because when I believe it, he says you can even agree it's right, but have no bedding ground for it to fall into and express itself. Like Saul. Saul says, after all, I'm an Israelite. Is a prophet anoint me? Amen. Because after all, I know the history of my ancestors. I can tell about Moses and Joshua and all them. I can tell about the great feats that took place with Samson destroying the Philistines. He can give you all history of it. But the father Abraham when he turned back young. He said, so he believed God. See, Samson already destroyed 1,000 Philistines. Who is one uncircumcised Philistine? He had believed that. See, he had a prophet in his day that wrought miracles. Even his calling had a miracle connected to it. Because that prophet discerned him. Tell him who he was. Tell him about the donkey, everything. Is that correct? So he knew about God present him. But the thing is that he believed, you know, God could destroy Goliath, but he didn't believe God would do it. And that is a million miles apart. You could be a believer so near, like Saul. He believed, oh, God can destroy that Philistine. I have no doubt, because God destroyed the whole Egyptian army in the Red Sea. Why God can destroy one Philistine? But David knew God was going to do it right now. Amen. Amen. That God is here anointing me to do it. He said, I'll go and fight him. Amen. He wasn't talking about there's a God and the history of Israel and how much different facts. You know, he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about God present tense anointing me to break the power of that thing. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But people don't seem to move right up to that place. See? And the devil holds them in that deception that they are a believer because they agree with it. You tell them about Abraham, look, Abraham did so-and-so. You say, look, Moses did so-and-so. Look, Joshua did so-and-so. And they could see it, yes. The mind followed it. And you say, look, in this day, and the prophet did so-and-so, yes. Right, yes. And they follow all the right up. And God promised to do it again in the bride. Yes, and they agreed on the whole thing. Yes. And then what about unbelief? Yes. So they didn't see it. Yes. Because God didn't tell them to show you all those things. God tell them to put you into action. Yeah. That's the objective God had in speaking that to you. Yeah. But it fascinates people many times the way it unfolds, how clear it is when it's laid out. So it fascinates them and they want to learn it. Because why? They will look for revelation when they can tell it back to somebody who don't know it second hand. Amen! See? You know, there was a Sunday I was going to preach, and be on weekend faith. And then there was a this brother's wife from another church. You know, the doctor, she said to give up to die. And she believe she has cancer, and you know, they're having such a hard time, and then you know, he's trying to get her, and she's going through some in kind of mental condition, and speaking all kind of weird things, and you know, so they try, and then they're hoping that they would like to come for me to talk with them. So we said, all right, and we arranged it, and the husband came first by himself, and we sat down and talked, and he gave me the whole history of the case, and while he was speaking, that just the grace of God, the Holy Spirit came down and began to show a pattern, you know, and, you know, how the enemy worked there to bring the person in that condition. And we spoke and he was so moved. He went home right away and he convinced his wife she should come. So he called on the phone and said, the wife is going to come. We're going to come together. I said, all right. And we arranged the time, and then they came and we sat down there and began to speak a little bit. So while she began to speak, you know, and just talk the whole experience, right when I began to see, it was exactly the way the Holy Spirit was giving it the day before to the husband, telling it to him. So, you know, he left and he went home because, you know, she kind of wanted to be by herself to just really let out and speak. So then after she spoke everything and And the Lord just began to work inside of the end. Begin to break the power of the enemy. Because she had become so negative. And then even the natural sign she born under, she's negative and emotional. And the Holy Spirit began to show certain traits and characteristics in her own life that the enemy was working on. You know, to put into a complex like. And you know, when the, you know, the law, the thing of the devil is, use the law to put you in bondage. But the law condemns you and puts you in prison. The Lord will bring you out, it puts you in prison. But grace is what brings you out. Grace will have redemption. And the Holy Spirit is going to come to the scripture like the word. Not my thoughts, not my feelings. Just giving the word. And then the Holy Spirit give the word, it was just breaking those things. And, you know, she's going to come and kind of confess and, you know, begin to get so happy, you know, and so free. And afterwards, her husband came back and she tells me, she said, you know, I see myself, I think in my own life, I never see before. And, you know, she was so happy and free. And right in there, I was kind of telling him that the message and the thing that the Lord was kind of dealing with me if I was going to preach, because here I was kind of studying some of these things, and these people come just in a case like that, and you know, from another church. And I know, even to come there to see me, it take a lot, even in humility in the world itself then. After all, I mean, if flesh and blood can do nothing, but they just believe that the Holy Spirit will be able to work to help them. You know, so I say maybe like Jairus, you know. You know, when the things get real tough and he realize what's happening, then he pick up his coat, you know, and head down there all the time, you know, because he keep his distance. But then that day he saw something. So while they came there, I began to just testify, because right here in after service Sunday, I was talking to a sister, and then Sunday night I was talking to another brother, and both of them are sick. And then we have a few others in the church again who know someone with diabetes, is a cataract, who is a cataract, is tumor, who is a tumor. And I was thinking about that, I said, look at some of these things, so faithful and loyal, and here they're standing there, and it's a situation. And, you know, when God ready to do something, he just brings it up. And just even last night after the service, there was this young man, you know, he come out of the service, I think he kind of come along now, he's interested in being baptized, and the brothers were testifying to me sometime how he had fallen off this place where he's working on a real height, and he's kind of crippled from his waist down now. Every time I see him walking out there hanging, he came outside. I said, have you been baptized? So I know he's coming out a little while. He said, well, not yet. I'm trying to look into it and, you know, want to get it arranged and so on. I told myself, I want to speak to you, because I just felt him, you know, here's a young man, he's crippled and he's just walking there. But there's something then that the Holy Spirit, you know, is pushing on the inside to challenge some of these things. You see? Because I'm not fear of being embarrassed. Because then I can do this. God to do it. And God promised to keep his word. But God only proved his word by believers. As I was speaking to one of his sisters there, I was telling her there after service, I said, you know, she's suffering here with this growth. And I said, look, you know, the growth is not even in question. That's not the thing to begin with. And I took the scripture here and began to speak it to her. I said, Abraham considered not his own body. No, that was his flesh. Now what was in the scripture there? It says, and be not weak in faith. That's your soul now. Faith, that's your soul. That's not the spirit. That's your soul. He considered that his spirit, not his own body. In other words, the human spirit had nothing there to block up that faith. When faith says shut up, that human spirit has to shut up. You see, because if we had just considering the body was the thing that the promise had to come true. And the body was the thing that was dead, that the miracle had to be performed on. But the human spirit is what when God spoke to him. And that word found a lodging place in that prepared ground, in that soul. Amen. That human spirit came in subjection right away. Every reason was cast down. Yeah. Every thought. He began to bring it into captivity. Yeah. That we tell us, it's not the God. The God is nothing. That human is nothing. It's what in your quiet moments. When you're home by yourself, yeah. that you think about it. When the pain comes, and the pain relates to the very growth, that pain is like it influencing you, influencing your spirit. The reason. You see, as if God give you a vision now, or speak thus said the Lord, and tell you, September the 24th, you shall be healed completely. You have no more problems. You will eat every ounce of pain. Every time it comes, you need part of it. You eat every ounce of pain. Because you know the deliverance is already sure. But because God is giving us certain date, you want to feel it over promise. That don't make what God tell you sure. Now, what you think about it? Satan now is waging a warfare with your human spirit by keep pointing you to what you call your problem. Now, it might be domestic tonight too. But God have those things here because that is the real thing that is to gauge you. No, not how you walk and say, I have this relationship with God. These conditions, God divinely allowed the enemy to put and have the air. You see, what kind of reaction in your life towards these things? And you'll find so much people trying to ignore and bypass to get the promise. And the promise looking for it to be manifested right in that very thing. That's where they're going to see the promise. But that's why God put it there. So there could be a manifestation of the promise. Amen. He considered not his own body. Now every day he looked at that flesh. So I tell his sister, yeah, you know when she gave it to her husband, yeah, I said, look, if the doctors, because you know she was saying that the husband said, no, the doctors didn't give up the damage. The doctors tried to tell her she could be healthy and assisted. I said, look at your case. If the doctors say that, you know, you could be helped and assisted, and God is more than willing to do it, then look at Abraham. The doctor was telling him it's impossible for it to happen. Every doctor tells him it's impossible for it to happen. And he didn't take what is in consideration. As if your faith considering the thing, then your faith is not sufficient. If every time the enemy take that situation, present it for you, and you find yourself going to question, then your faith is not yet sufficient. Because his faith didn't consider it, though every day I see it. And he sees the 25 years. Every morning, every midday, every evening, every night. Now, either we believe that really happened, or that's only an allegory, as some people like to say. You know, that is just some little thing in the Bible there. So we don't have to kind of try to live that out because we'll be trying to live out something imaginative that never really exists. It's just to bring on a thought. I believe it genuinely happened. Yeah. I believe that's God's word. I have no question with that. See? Because here we are. You see, the very situation is there. The very, you see, people, you know, somebody get a breakdown, somebody get a, some sickness, somebody get, and bam, the people rush to the doctor with all the revelation. Let them have, man, they're back in a corner and they're scared. And they're frantic. And they pull almost any string to see something happen. You know, like, that's not very associated. You know, like, there's one life in church, and then one other life. There's nothing that's not happening. That it happens just like that. Nothing. And I've come to the place. I told his sister, I said, die. I said, because if you have to die, and it's not the time to die, God has to raise you back up because you're finished all of the time here. Exactly. Die. Say, Satan, you have to kill me. Amen. That's what you want. I'm not going to back one inch. Is I didn't believe God or I don't believe it. I said, the arm has come here. You have to stop running somewhere and turn around and fight the devil. You're not playing and make believe. You're not walking around. You're like, if. Are we talking about here? Or the prophet, you know? When he said, Lord, the brother said, brother, why does the Lord give all the big Kaiba and all the big DNT? He said, he betrayed me. He showed me a vision. I go here, I see it, and then, you know, I shoot it. He said, I go in the prayer line and God showed me a sick person there, and they're going to get well the same way. When God showed me a vision, I'm going to raise, and they're going to raise the same way. So I can have faith in the vision. So God trained him, giving him the visions of animals, different things out in the woods, you know, his life in danger, different things. But yeah, he's been trained. So when he comes to the prayer line now, something happened. He's all set, he's all ready. See? You see, you know, problems arise and people who suppose, you know, have so much of a revelation, well, problem comes, you see, they're all frustrated. You know, don't know how to handle the situation. You say, well, what is the matter? What's really happening? See? When your revelation, the reason you're taking in that word, the reason that word becomes flesh in you, that you will master every situation. And then sometimes the only place in your life you really have a trial. And then that's the place, you know, you just cast the handle. And you know, you're confident yourself, maybe you're a good Christian because maybe you don't drink and you don't smoke and different things. But there are many people who are Christians who don't drink and smoke. Yeah. And here the prophet is saying, yeah, and humble thyself, he says, you have three people, why Christ picked the morning, and you know, that message, he was rebuking his own self. After God, he says, anointed him, called him, revealed himself to him, showed him the scripture, the pillar of fire, hunger for vindication, God, on his word of him, he spoke it. Yet he only got to keep pushing him to step out and do something. And the Holy Spirit says, as long as you want that, no faith is connected with it. Because once the will of God is revealed to you, you don't have to wait for God to keep telling you over and over and over. Step out and go in it. You see, people run from one side to the next, you know. I have to be led. You don't have to be led to drink a cup of water. You know, and they just get from one extreme to the next. So he says, look, we just finished off because I don't want to keep it too behind the Lord's Supper. I had a very odd, peculiar experience in the pulpit. He said that was the last part of the message. I wasn't aiming to say that way. But I guess it's already said and there's nothing I can do about it now. But then I go home and go to study about it. And I think with the message this morning, some of what I speak, the way the Lord seemed to lead me to bring it out, ought to kind of encourage us a little bit. To really believe. We play around and we say different things and talk about them. But when it comes to the showdown, that's something different. Someone was telling me, there, I believe it was my brother back there telling a little story about a man, a minister, one of the congregation. He could walk on the log. He said, Pastor, sure the Lord's with you. The pastor could walk on the log. He said, sure. He said, I can pack a log across my back when I go across. Sure the Lord is with you. He went and done it. He said, I can pack a log and a wheel barrel across this sinner. He said, sure, Pastor, the Lord is with you. Your faith can do anything. He said, I can put you in the wheelbarrow and pack the log. He said, no, wait a minute. It's different when you are included in it yourself. Now, what the prophet was preaching in the morning, he was preaching, he said, look at Peter. The people knew Peter was anointed and vindicated, and they walked into the shadow to be healed. He said he didn't go to say them things in the pulpit. He said, people in the red t-shirt, he said, Moses, speak the word, Moses. We know God vindicated you. But he said, bring a woman, complain. See, like the Typhoon young woman, she said, what did it say, you know, she said, just, you know, she asked him, say, Lord, in the dog of the crumbs, like the woman centurion, he said, Lord, just speak the word. Don't come on my way, just speak the word. So he says, look, it's so the people should have behaved. And then he was trying to bring that to the people. So then he's saying here now, you know, people, it's different when you include yourself in it. It's mighty good for them to say, I believe that's true. He said, good for them to say, I believe that's true. But then put into action. As I brought this statement, the people who were in the shadow of Peter, they never even asked for prayer. I've went into many homes watching this, we pray before I go out, and just go in there with the anointing and don't even pray for the people who walk out there healed. That's right. I've seen it done many times. And you've got to have somewhere to place your faith, see? You've got to believe it, and I believe that the hour is approaching and now it. This, what I was speaking of this morning, he says, has brought us right up to a climax. And the reason I'm going to take next Sunday for healing service is because since I've been home, I've told you about the vision and what happened and everything and brought it right up, why I've done all these things. And then this morning, bring it up now to the last poll. Now it's my time for consecration to God. God's time to speak to me. I must have just a little change in my own life. Not that I think I'm wicked, but I want to feel a little more closer to the people. Amen. He says, you know, like, to me, it seemed like an insult. You know, he's preaching back and forth, and is it, you're trying to help people and like shoving a boat out here. Here it is, crossover. Here, get out of that swollen stream. You're going to die. Tell the people to come out, get in the boat. You're going to perish there. And they just laugh at you and walk away. Well, to me, it feels like if they walk away, there's nothing more I can do. He said, that's the way he was feeling at one time. Well, I tell the best, they don't want to hear that's the business. They can't tell them. He said, but now, I want to run down the bank now. And persuade them, come on back. See, I've got to have that feeling. I know there is somebody out there that hasn't come in yet. And I'm going to fish until the last fish is caught. Now get what he's saying now. Now watch where, you see, God been showing certain things that they've been coming up. And here one after the next, the Holy Spirit begins to appear. Show himself visible now among the people. And as we begin to do these things, then here it is. You know, I've been preaching down in Honduras. I played one of the tapes here last night. The holy union, the holy faith, the holy works, and these things. And I am the resurrection life. I am the living bread. Those who were preaching when he came down there. Now watch. So then, here it is. You see these things coming up to a place. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begin to bring these people like laying there. Laying there all the time. You know, and it seems like they're getting sicker and sicker and praying, been offered to them. But it comes to a place now, something got to be done. It's believing it for real and not playing around with it no more. See where it comes to? It comes to act because the thing we have seen God do already. Amen. Now watch. He says, so that is the feeling. We're going to come to the place for the people to step in there to be healed. He said, that is the feeling have to be inside. He said, even though I want to tell them, and they still go on in the old way, I want to have the feeling where I could run down the bank and say, come on still. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, and now in order to do this, I'm expecting something to happen at prayer meeting, something. And many remember the last poll, the third poll rather. You remember there was something happened just before that. I see the light come, go down that place. I'll meet you in there. No, I'm looking for something to happen. So after you preach that message in the morning, come to a place, and the Holy Spirit blurt those things out. He didn't go to sit in the pulpit. He went home and realized, my, now that inspiration. Look what was said. Is it truth? We have to step into that place. We are at that time for these things to happen. He said, now I'm looking for something to happen to start the third pulling of the march. See? And maybe the next Sunday morning healing service may produce that. And you notice when he had the Joshua Commission and God visited him, he started writing that service in the prayer line. He said, now I'm going with faith now with this commission revealed to me this morning, and I'm going to start the prayer with that. When it comes to paradox, and he had a vision of binding the mamba, he said, from this morning, God tell me, be more sincere, I'm going to start a prayer more sincere for them. Here when he comes and realized he spoke those things, he says, now from his next service, I'm going to start in that inspiration and pray for them and see if it's going to break, what's going to happen. And I brought you up in the prayer lines for the last few seasons. I just come in for a purpose. I said, don't stay in the back there and write no note and send people to know you pray for you. Come with the attitude like a Thai Felicia woman. Amen. Even though I get rebuked when they come up here and the words of God confess the sin first, you don't feel embarrassed. Amen. Come like the Shulamite woman. It is well. Amen. Come with that type of, come like the woman in Mexico. Amen. The deacons say, look, we can't handle this morning. Run to the back. Amen. Find somebody else and get in the line. Come with faith. How many times people say my little prayer because they didn't believe? Almost. Pray for so-and-so. I said, when you go to pray for somebody, you testify for them. Yeah. Don't ask somebody to say, I have a request for them. Yeah. Tell them to believe. Yeah. Ask them. Put it to them. Yeah. Like Paul, they take handcuffs and they put on them. Yeah. Hallelujah. The devils leave them. Yeah. Because why? Give them something. It's not real substance faith yet. Get them the best of faith on. He tells John Ryan, go testify and heal until you get a hole. You have to be in business with these things because the devil is in business. And you watch and see how it's going to move. You watch and see. We come back here for a new burst of faith to see something move. God is coming closer and closer now to his people. You know what? But make sure that attitude, that feeling is on the inside of your heart. He said, I think for us to do, we better tell all the people, the sick, get the sick people now for a healing service. We've got to consecrate on sick people. Get the sick people and get them here early. And you know, God, I tell you, God, we just dealing, I come up right back this message, we can say, express, be that we can faith. Because those things, how could I miss me preaching those things and deny the people who stand there, the very thing he's preaching about? I mean, that's going to speak back to him. If what he's preaching is the word, and those people are believers, it must catch fire somewhere. To materialize, that word must materialize. Produce the required results. Let's come in substance faith. Being not weak in faith. He had the substance of the things he was hoping for. It was inside of the air. The evidence of things not seen. He had the substance and the evidence. He knew it was living inside of there. He wasn't playing around. You think of them mental battles of being the coming inside of there. And tell them it can't happen. And then you know, question it and want to stagger from belief and take into consideration. He cast the tongue. It takes real substance faith under pain to say, Satan, you're a liar still. Amen. I believe God will regardless. Amen. Because your flesh wanna tell you, you don't mean that because you're feeling the pain. Yeah. And you can say that you flesh, I don't believe it you anyhow. Yeah. In the soul of belief. Hallelujah! Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But a lot of people in person, if you have, from the time the first obstacle come in their way, they get uncertain. Yeah. They're certain as long as no obstacles appear. From the time obstacle appear. When they should be persevered in spite of the obstacle now? They find out questions. Well, maybe God punishing me. And then they're not really certain they're justified. They're not really certain they forgive him and don't come in claim. So the devil bring back something to your memory and say, you didn't see God, is that he punishing you for? Or it may be that. Or is this over here? Where is the devil getting it from? If God already get rid of it, it is still God forgetfulness. Amen. not weak. In fact, staggered not at the promise. The word that is revealed, you remember, works is faith express. Faith is a revelation. Revelation with all the world, something's wrong. Is that I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe? No. It's devil running, 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 running. That's what it is. Because saying it don't mean nothing. We've got to believe him for that now with all our heart. I think the great hour has arrived that when God, in so much as we are speaking this morning, has showed us, brought us to this spot, just a little push over the hill, and that's all we need. Then away it goes. Going like it was, the same thing with the discernment sent by prophetic words. He did his third poll, he says, we reach here now. All we need is a little consecration. We can get this little people and a little push over that hill. I commit all my might to a bar and push over that hill. Push over that obstacle that wanna stand before you. I'll push over that. Break into a place where it can be manifest in your life. Oh, when he says, and I look now for the next to start like that. See? God, in his own way, his own sovereign time to begin it, and it'll be another thing that would be a way beyond any of these other people. I'm looking for that to happen. Let's all go closer to God by humbling ourselves. Don't forget this tabernacle will lose its strength. Remember that this is the target where Satan got every gun in hell trained on. He called one person loose and that's contrary to what the other one thinks. He is doing that. He's up to it. That's his business. If he can't get somebody to say something, somebody to talk about another, say, well, listen, did you know so and so did? Don't you listen to it. Don't you listen to it. That's the devil, see? You see, these things that go to hinting just in the word trying to get you over the hill. But, oh, the devil see that word being preached there, and the faith beginning to rise in the heart of something to break that hold that he has upon people. Oh, my. You get a few carnal ones, earthly minded, and they're going to point all kinds of confusion, and away it goes. They suck everybody right here. If there is anything that somebody has done wrong, pray for them. Don't pray in a cell and say, Lord, I know it's my duty. I'm going to pray for that brother. You take it to your heart. Really down for that sister. And just talk and be real sweet. And the first thing you know, you find them right back in service again. Because we are all headed towards the setting of the sun. He said, now for myself, I'm preaching to myself here. I'm going to start digging deeper than I ever dug. Because I realize that in the nation around the world, that this ministry will again, as it is known now everywhere over the world, I must go again. He said, I was thinking here, and then he began to speak about, okay, this is the end. One last illustration, he said, the back of what he said. He said, now we look at his watch. Talking about a wristwatch. You'll find out what time it is. Unless that every instrument in that watch is coordinating one with the other, we'll never know the correct time. And that takes all of us together. If we want to see the third pole really do something for God. And coordination with every one of us together. To humble ourselves before God and confess our wrong and pray and believe God for these things. How many is willing to do that tonight? Amen. Amen. It's time for another push over that hill. Amen. What we have seen begin to catch there quickly in all those places we went, the Holy Spirit just coming down. I know God getting ready to vindicate his bride publicly now. Amen. Because God won't do those things if there's a lot of fleshness in people, so get yourself puffed up with it and get yourself exalted. No, them have to be empty out first. And God in his great wisdom know what he is doing. Amen. But now he's coming back around to bring us to a place where he's going to make these things manifest. It will look great things for you in your midst first. And you that are sick here tonight, you're supposed to even have faith when you walk to this supper table here. You're not a feeble one that went out to Egypt when they took that Passover. If you can still come to the table here, you come to the table here and you know you're thinking about you approach that knowing that is a symbol, but it's only a symbol that represents your atonement. Amen. Amen. And when you partake of it, here naturally, it shows spiritually you're identifying your partaking and having spiritual communion with him. It should be settled once and for all when you walk to this table here tonight. That's your way the church should be this hour. Amen. Amen. See? He says, and God will never put his spirit in an unholy, unrighteous, disobedient temple. No, it's got to come in the way of cleansing of our hearts from all guile and iniquity, that we might be pure before God, that he might work his pure, holy spirit through us to bring these things to pass. And God can only operate as we let him operate, and there is so many wonderful things that I have seen. You know, people want power, and really they don't know what power is, see? They don't really know what goes with it. The way up is down, always. If you want power, see how humble you can get. Just get it from all your worldly thinking and humble yourself before God. And then you got more power than the man that runs all over the building, makes a big lot of noise, see? Because you've been able to conquer yourself. And commit yourself to Christ, see? Humble yourself before him. That's really power. You show me a church that humble, real humble, not arrogancy. A church just sweet and humble church. I'll show you a church that has favor and power of God in it. That's right. That's the thing. It takes humility, humbling ourselves before God, letting God work through us. Don't have to make a lot of noise. Sometimes the father said he went out to the field and with his wagon, every time he hit a bump, it rattled and went on. But when he come back, he hit the same bump, didn't make no noise because it was loaded with good things. Amen. And I've always found that the man that humbles himself is the man that God exalts. When you take a person with his chest out, knows everything, you can't tell him nothing, he's arrogant, well, that's the person that never gets anywhere. But you take the person that humbles himself and walks sweetly. Amen. So he says, see, the main thing is love God and humble yourself with it. That's what it is. And we want to come to this table tonight, you know, seeing that here we are. Don't take this into consideration. It's a mental battle between you and Satan that is using that very thing to hold you in the humanistic realm, to keep you seeing that and not seeing his promise. And then Satan coming and trapping many into believing that God have them going through that, you know. Nobody can believe that kind of, because it wouldn't make an admission of a lack of faith. He said, God had me going through that, man. For a purpose, but he can't tell what the purpose is. And like that purpose is never finished. Then when you're having pain and trouble and your doctor gives up to die, you shouldn't get frightened. You're going through the purpose of God. You see, these are always not to bluff yourself. Don't try bluffing yourself. Don't try being insincere with the word. You can't fool with the word. You want the word to work? Come sanely, intelligently, sincerely, right into that word and watch it happen like that. Amen. And don't let it come and trap you with these things and say, well, God punishing you for that, or is this God punishing you for, or this over here, and every week he's giving us something else, you know. It's just a hold you there. What do you believe about it? You see God's word, and you know God will do those things, and you see what the very word is being preached, and God promised these very things to happen, then you'll be a real believer, regardless of that circumstance. Amen. Abraham didn't even consider it. You think of it. Because why? In that soul was laying the substance, was laying the evidence of what he was hoping for. And he, against hope, he believed in hope. The hope of the things not seen. The substance of the things he's hoping for. See? He knew to lay inside of there. It had to come to pass. And because of that, Satan couldn't trap him into compromising, couldn't paralyze his faith. And, you know, the only way Satan could hold that sickness there is he paralyzed your faith. But what he's really working on is your faith. But he's using these things to paralyze your faith. So the problem is not that a devil. And I told his sister there, you know, when she came to her husband, I said, no, you say you have no hope. I said, regardless whether it's cancer, Hodgkin disease, leukemia, I said, the devil. I said, the devil, God is more powerful than the every devil. So what do you believe? What did it come down to then? You're going to believe a devil more powerful than God? You're claiming a Christian. Let's tell the word right away. It has to move. Now remember, as long as you don't want that deal, I don't have to stay there. Either. As a man thinking his heart, so is he. You may say, I don't want it. But the very way you're acting and working and thinking, you're keeping it. So if you say you don't want it here, and your whole behavior is to keep it and strengthen it. You're going against your own testimony. You're speaking, but unconsciously. You don't know what you're saying. You might be saying, don't want it from a point of pain and have you uncomfortable. It's not very like healing, you know. I'm talking about faith and wisdom. I'm talking about overcoming your enemy. But you see, because the third pole had healing, but that wasn't like healing in a healing line. That's faith now. In God's promise. Faith in the revelation, you are Son of God, redeemed, standing under the blood, justified. Amen. The word spoke, that came out of existence. He said, the token, the voice of the blood, spoke it out of existence. Amen. Because in there, the devil couldn't bring nothing to say, no, God punish him for that. Oh, God punish him for this. Oh, no. And then, even his wife was in that condition, I know she had done wrong, he went before God with his token. Hold it with unwavering faith over her and praying, interceding, because he knew the mercy was inside of him. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to accept nothing that the devil wants to put there. You withstand it. You resist the devil and see he don't flee from you. But it comes in your mind like a thought. You begin to entertain it. You open your door. You get enticed. It becomes lust. It brings forth sin. It brings forth death. But you resist it. It shall flee from you. Amen. What's the power you want? The power that performs miracles. Does somebody go out there? It's the power to pull down the strongholds. Mighty in pulling down strongholds. Then you see a manifestation. Follow that. But not trying to push that out without you conquering your own human spirit. It's the word in you ruling in your heart. Having preeminence in your life. Then those things believe. Then our next man will naturalize see a miracle. But it's yours, it's you battling with faith. The devil is trying to tell you. If you go in and pray for, you feel nice and get a blessing. Up. I don't believe God promised you, but maybe God's taking me through that. You're already in certain territory. You see, because why? He doesn't trap you into considering the symptom. So you start to stagger through unbelief. That's why many people come to you many times and you speak the word to them. But they want something else other than the word, but you're going to tell them the word. If they receive the word, that will do the rest. But they want to remove it without it in the world, without it dying to the self. But the whole thing is to bring a death to yourself. All of these things just to bring a death to yourself. That's exactly what it is. Let's stand to our feet. We get ready to come to this table. Remember, he says, let's consecrate ourselves. It's consecration time. That new ministry is already given a sign, it's coming. And God want to get a people and move them right up into that place where these things can happen. Why not tonight as we prepare our hearts to come before his table. To know that when we stand here, we take this bread and we break it, and we partake of this wine, it's Calvary be made manifest in a symbol all over again. And you are part of it. Then look into your own life, look into your own heart and see if you are truly identified with his death. He died that you could live, no, that you should die that he could live inside of you. So we could see these things that our heart thirsts for, thirsting for the living God, panting as your heart panted after the water brook. God is not stuck concerning his promise, but your faith, that's why he revealed it to you. So your faith could bring you to it. God is going to give you faith and then you sit down now, just wait for something to fall in the sky. Your faith and your works unite together is to go forth and create it. Bring it into operation. Take the scripture now that speaks of this and make it live. If God wanted to fall in the sky, he wouldn't spend all these years teaching us, laying the word in, taking our fears and our doubts out, showing us our position in the word. But he's given us that faith that we might take a hold of this word and anoint it, that it become a living reality. I believe in God that beginning from tonight, that this will rise, that is sick, will be so completely delivered. Those that bound will be broken and set free. God will unlock every prison door, even in your old home. Your own domestic lives. The Holy Spirit is going to come and straighten out all those things. Make our people ready. Have a real church that is the living word. All that God spoke in his Bible about his sons, his daughters, their homes, the spiritual life. With the living within them. These scriptures will be interpreted. They'll be the expression of Jesus Christ. For I have received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. With our hearts bowed, our eyes closed, we tarry one for the other. At this time, if there be any strangers, they would like to be dismissed, because we are about to go into the breaking of bread and the washing of feet. It may be kind of lengthy. If you're a Christian, you're free to participate tonight. But if you'd like to leave, maybe you come and prepare to this type of a service. Then may God's blessing and peace be upon you as you go. May God take you safely back home.
Lord, just remember you. You took your disciples in that upper room. And you desired, Lord, to eat that Passover with them. You have come down to the end of your ministry. Great healing revival is over. The sign of Messiah had been displayed. The message rebuking the organizations had gone. You identify yourself. You are the follower one, the fullness of your message. The crowds went back, Lord. The few disciples who had believed that message all their hearts, now close to you. The Lord is getting ready to unveil something to them. It was just like a tradition all those years, commemorating what had happened back in Egypt. The Lord was making it known to them that you were the Lamb. You were that unleavened bread. That blood that had to be applied, that death couldn't strike them. The very blood within you that was about to be shed for the remission of sins of many. From that, Lord, you enter into Gethsemane. Then into Judgment Hall. Then up to Golgotha's hill. It was quick, one after the other. But then, Lord, at that point, that great ministry of the voice of the resurrection came into operation when you preached to the lost and you raised the sleeping saints. And Lord, we see that very same ministry repeating again in these last days. These closing hours of this generation, Lord, is running out, and we see all the scriptures gathered up, being revealed in a little body of people, despised and rejected. God hiding in simplicity, being revealed in humility. Lord, just speaking these things I've spoken tonight, still having faith, not considering the circumstances, not considering these things, Lord, that the enemy uses to hold us in the humanistic realm. But mounting up, Lord, with the wings of an eagle in that realm of faith, where you can see your word coming to pass. Lord, I pray that all that would come to your table to supper tonight, that sovereign grace of God would put that revelation in their hearts. Then that our sick, oh God, would be healed. Then, oh God, we are closer walk, would walk right into that desire, oh God. See, Lord, begin to go to work in the hearts and lives, Lord. Then that want the rippling of the Holy Ghost. Another touch from you, Lord. Let tonight be a special night for us. May you come close to us tonight, Father. Lord, we want to die so completely that Christ can live inside of us. You can be so expressed, Lord, in our mortal body. Lord, brother Sam tonight, always delivered unto death. For Jesus, taking the life of Jesus, might be made manifest in our mortal body. Run tonight, Father. Give me that holy bread in my hands tonight, it's on the left bread. May thy sanctified hands. Father, I pray, sanctify the word you intended. The Lord is wine, it represents your precious blood. Sanctify, Father. And oh God, we would sup with you tonight. May, Lord, it be a night that we will remember. Lord, the Holy Spirit will just stand at the side of this table and everyone come and walk through that pillar of fire. When they are handed, Lord, that piece of bread, Lord, be so sacred to them as they partake of it, Lord, and as they put that cup, oh God, let you, not my will, but thou will be done. Grant it, Lord Jesus, that we can be real prisoners. Prisoners of your word, Lord. Prisoners of love divine tonight. Chained to dust, said the Lord. Not to live our own selves or have any ambitions of our own. But every breath we take, every step we make, will bring glory to your name. Father, grant tonight, we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Bow. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then cometh Jesus Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not, save to wash his feet, but is every whit whole. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he hath sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. This is like Brother Narayan Singh, come and ask for a blessing, understand?
What a great and solemn moment this afternoon. Father, rehearsing in our hearts that day, Father, you personally did this to your disciples. Father, you did it as an example to us. Traveling a long time, Father, 2,000 years have passed. And God, we know we are so near that day that you spoke of our gathering unto the Lord. Of that meeting in the day. We are happy, Father, for this day to do this once again in remembrance of you. Father, it's a joy within our hearts that we do it. And we pray, dear God, that you would bless this moment. Father, we believe, dear God, it is already so blessed as we can feel your very presence. We know that you are here by a faith in our hearts, dear God. So Lord, as we are stepping in the continuation of this service tonight, bless us, dear God. Lord, as we shall bow at the feet of our brother, sister to a sister and brother to a brother, God, may that love so saturate our souls. Lord, that when we take each other's feet, it can happen, Lord, we believe it can, that we can see the nail scars upon the feet of the one. God, I commit this service into thy hands. I pray, God, that you are blessed once again. With thanksgiving, Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a seat in the ushers with me.
There are trouble on every side, yet not distress, perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, even in trials, we are not forgotten. That's why in all these things, we are born and conquered. There's pressing the upward way, and we bear in our bodies the dying of our Lord every day, every day, yeah, 'cause we are vessels of honor, set aside unto the Master's use. And day he did order, then he did choose, vessels of honor, vessels of honor, set aside unto the Master's use. Thank you, Lord. And they did it for you, they did choose. Our Lord was tempted on every side, yet without sin, that we could reign with him. Proven to be the true Savior, Lord and King, and blessed Redeemer. That's why in all these things, we are born and conquerors, pressing the upward way. And we bear in our bodies the dying of our Lord every day, every day, yeah, 'cause we are vessels of honor, set aside unto the Master's use. Thank you, Lord. And they he did for you, then he did choose, vessels of honor, vessels of honor, set aside unto the Master's use. Thank you, Lord. And they he did for you, then he did choose, vessels of honor. Vessels of honor, we are, oh, but we give it a sacred trust to fulfill his word in this our destruction. Surely goodness and mercy will be with us despite the condition. That's why in all these things we are more than conquerors, pressing the upward way. Thank you, Lord. And we bear in our bodies the dying of our Lord every day, every day, yeah, 'cause we are vessels of honor, set aside unto
And they heeded for new, then heeded true, vessels of honor, vessels of honor, vessels of honor, vessels of honor. We are vessels of honor, vessels of honor, vessels of honor. Yes, we are. Thank you. my rejected king. Soon one day we'll leave this place, there to behold his face, and so we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, of a great and mighty Savior. Here's the rose of Sharon, crushed and bruised for my sin. His blood and water separated wounds in his side. He's my king, my rejected king. He is the rose of Sharon, crushed and bruised for my sin. His blood and water set wounds in his side. He's my king, my rejected king. I owe my heart. the body. I was lost.
I was lost.
Once my soul was astray. Think about it now. Oh, from the heavenly way. I was wretched.
Thank you.
thank you tonight. You walked that lonely hill with us in mind. We were wretched, naked, and blind. But thank God for the crucified one. Oh, Jesus is the crucified one. Oh, blessed be he. Oh, we thank him tonight for a night well spent in his presence, that he could turn our minds back to Calvary.